Well, hello everyone. It is another beautiful day, or I guess not really a beautiful day, but it depends on whether you like cloudy weather or not. But it is a lovely day. I'm Austin Slater. Welcome back to the Deeper Podcast. Dan Kinnis is back with me. Dan, thanks again for being here.
Yeah, good to be together again, Austin. And yeah, looking forward to our time together talking a bit about joy.
Yes. And joy is such a nebulous concept and yet such an important concept. Mm. I was trying to think of joy adjacent trivia. But it's hard to kind of do that. And we did, you know, we did the plant trivia last week. So yeah. I was like, you know what? We're just going to dive into the fun stuff.
Sure, dive into
the meat of it this week.
Yeah.
So I was wondering if you'd just give us a quick recap of what you talked about on Sunday.
Yeah, so we're moving through the fruit of the Spirit here, reflecting on each one of them. And so this week was joy. And as you said, it's maybe one of these words that's a little trickier, right? We'll talk about this, you know, is it happiness? No, it's more than that, you know. What's it tied to? And we really talked about how in so many ways joy is tied with hope. And of course, all of these fruit are pointing first to our relationship with the Lord, what he's done. But yeah, for joy, that's vital. And having that kind of rising above kind of fruit that joy is, and that can only be possible knowing what the Lord's done for us. So we talked about some of that differentiation or maybe just a little heightened sense of joy above happiness. We talked about hopes and how important it is to be centered on God's vision for us and that hope and to keep that in mind, even as we're hoping for other things in the world, and how sometimes if that's all we're focused on, the hopes of the world, that it could lead to the opposite of joy, which is despair. And just kind of close then with a few, I don't know, accompanying characteristics, I guess you might say, that go with joy. We talked about just this perseverance, an exuberance toward living God's way, and even just a, we kind of call it the 10,000-foot perspective that comes through all the things of life, knowing God's vision for us. So it's a, like all these words, it's kind of, I struggled a little bit, you know, what do I talk about, what do I not? Felt like I was kind of jumping around a little bit, but it's good to go deeper because there is even just one word. There's a lot there with joy or any of these words.
And there's so much that we have culturally associated with it, and we've confused. And I think, like you were saying, you know, we so often confuse joy and happiness. And so I'm wondering if you could really break down what the difference is. Is it just that, you know, happiness is circumstantial? Mm. Or and joy isn't just based on the circumstances? Or what really do you see as the difference between those two?
Yeah, I think that's probably the most helpful way to see the difference is being circumstantially based or not. What I do want to say, though, is that these are closely related. So when we talk about happiness, it's not like we're going, you know, way off in the wrong direction. It's not non-related to joy. It's close to it. In fact, you know, when you get those words, the beatitude words, blessed is the one who, often that's translated happy, right? So there is an association. It's just this depth, right? When Jesus says, blessed are the peacemakers, you know, he is pointing to something that is not really able to be taken away. Whereas happiness so much, especially in the secular world, we are thinking of very kind of circumstantial things, things that for this time I'm really enjoying and they're making me happy, but then the day changes and you know, the meal changes, the relationship changes, the job changes, my bank account changes, and now I'm not happy. Mm-hmm. Versus joy being something that really dwells in us. You know, mm-hmm. it's lasting. Really, for a Christian, it's permanent because of the work of God and what he's done for us. So
yeah, it feels a lot more like it's almost a character trait rather than an emotion at that point.
Yeah, that's a good way to say it, too. You know, it's happiness, you know, that's when I think of the feeling charts. That's one of them, right? And joy, again, that it's maybe just taking that to the furthest level. Like, well, yeah, this is something that's just there all the time. So maybe just, like you said, a character is a good way. I mean, that's what the fruit of the Spirit is. But
so is it bad to pursue happiness? I know we've said that, like, it's that both can be good there. But we talk a lot, and especially as Americans, you know, we talk about life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Yeah.
So when is pursuing happiness harmful, and how do we know if our pursuit of happiness is interfering with our ability to experience joy?
Yeah, it's a good question, and I think, yeah, it's part of our American fabric. In fact, I'd have to look it up. I'm pretty sure I wrote a reflection on this some time ago about the pursuit of happiness and how that relates to some of this, but that was probably 10 years ago, maybe, something like that. But that'll give me a good reason to search through some of my files as well. But yeah, I mean, fundamentally, there's nothing wrong with pursuing these things. Obviously, if what we define as happy is some of the characteristics of the flesh that Paul's talking about, like, boy, it makes me happy to see others suffer, right, or something like that, we'd say, well, that's not good. But for the most part, when we're talking about pursuing happiness, we're talking about, you know, going after things like just, you know, security and health and good relationships and things like that. So, you know, for the most part, that's not an issue, is seeking that in our lives and seeking that, you know, kind of life. It's, for us as Christians, the order of things, you know, making sure that my ultimate happiness, if you want to call it that, my joy, comes from what God has done and my relationship to Him, and that flows out to all these other things. Because, you know, I can pursue with all I want these things, and sometimes I might even get them. You know, I might get the job I want. I might get the spouse I want. But things in this world are very fleeting, you know. Illness comes along. Economies change. Wars happen. And then what, right? And then I got to change my peace. And that's where keeping those things in their proper order so that I'm not falling into the trap of despair that the enemy wants me to fall into. But I think that's a Christian perspective, it's worth saying as well. If I'm talking just to, you know, a person who's maybe not sharing my faith, you might have to take a little bit of a different approach. This joy concept might just be wrapped up in, you know, the things of this world and what I'm getting or what I'm not getting. And so we might have to start at a different point than, well, my relationship to God. I can explain that. This is what I believe. But might have to talk about, yeah, you know, do you feel like you're bouncing around with what brings you happiness? And if you notice, like, it can't just be the same thing because life changes and now I got to adjust that. And maybe a way into those conversations on a broader level. But, I certainly wouldn't say that pursuing those things is bad in and of itself. Again, could be if the things we're pursuing are harmful to ourselves and others, they're not clearly in God's way. Or, again, if we get out of order and placing these things on the top of the pyramid, so to speak, could also lead to some trouble, too.
Gotcha. Well, thanks for that. And, again, helping to, especially I appreciate the reminder to keep it in the right order. Because I think so often we're like, well, I shouldn't be pursuing happiness because, you know, I'm pursuing things of the world. And it's like, there's a place for that as long as it's just below the things of Christ.
Absolutely. Right. And it's a very fine line trying to walk that even in a sermon of, yeah, these are fine things to have goals for, right? I should have a goal to be a good husband, right, and to pursue a godly wife in that case. Or I should have a goal to try and use the gifts God's given me to work well. And sometimes the calling is to, you can build up resources because you can build God's kingdom. All right, these things aren't bad goals. It's just they need to be
in the right place.
In the right place, yeah.
And so I'd love to then talk a little bit about the hope element of this. Because we talked about it on Sunday, and you were kind of saying how, like, joy and hope really do go hand in hand.
Mm-hmm.
If you've got hope, you are more likely to have joy. If you have joy, you are more likely to have hope. And it's really hard, if not impossible, to have one without the other. From a personal standpoint, when we were going through our immigration stuff, and there was very little hope for things moving through in any form of with any form of speed or efficiency. It was, when we had moments where that hope wasn't there, it was so hard to be joyful.
Yeah.
And so I'm just wondering what thoughts you have for what we do when we're stuck in this spiral of having neither joy nor hope. How can we get out of that?
Yeah. Yeah, and that's true. We get there sometimes, right? It can be very challenging. When our lives are difficult and when we're looking at what's happening around us and it just seems hard to imagine the future looking any different. And so use your example. I mean, you guys were in this process for a long time before I even knew you, but for the first chunk of time I knew you, and it just seemed like nothing was happening, right? For a long time, things are stalled, and then we finally get, you know, send in this paperwork, we send it in, and then that gets stalled. It's hard to see, like, you know, that we're going to see any movement here. And I think that's the challenge, right? And so how do we get out of that to see there is new possibilities? And maybe sometimes it is going backwards in our lives to see how other times when we felt we were stuck or just didn't have hope, there was possibilities. There was something new to come. Maybe it was a health crisis you went through and you're just dealing with, you know, an injury or an illness, and God brought you through that. But when you're in the middle of it, it's pretty tough to see like the other side of that and the hope for it. Or, yeah, maybe you're stuck in career-wise and just really struggling in a job, and you're like, I can't get out of this. What am I going to do? But you can look back and see maybe, oh, God's brought me through other things. There is hope in those situations. It is really hard sometimes to see something different than the present. One of the things we were talking about is the movie Back to the Future. And if you know those movies, of course, Marty McFly and Doc, they're going back and forth. And Marty comes from the future in the first movie. He goes back 30 years to 1955. And he has this conversation there. He's in the diner, and there's a guy working, mopping the floors, and then the owner of the diner that are there. And the guy mopping the floors, African-American guy, is talking about, like, you know, I want to do something else. And Marty recognizes him and says, yeah, that's right, you're going to be mayor. And the guy working the diner says, you know, like, yeah, a black guy being mayor, right? What are the odds of that? He can't see the possibility for anything different than the present. And I think that's so true of us. We just see what's in front of us, and, well, that's the way it's going to be. And so it's really hard sometimes to grab hold of what God says he's bringing about. And I do think we have to kind of constantly be rehearsing how God's brought about newness. Even if you say, if you're listening, you say, I am a Christian, I believe in God, I have this relationship with him. Just dwell on that for a minute, because that wasn't always the case and a possibility, right? That's something God's brought about that's new through Jesus Christ, that you could call yourself a Christian and a child of God. That is a picture that wouldn't have seemed possible before the work of Jesus. And even in the Old Testament, we see the struggle with that and the wondering about how can this be. So even our faith can rekindle that hope of God can do something new here and bring that about. Do you have any thoughts, too? Have you been in a... You mentioned the immigration piece. Was there anything that was helpful for you in the midst of that?
Yeah, I mean, I think part of what was helpful was the, again, you know, going back and seeing, and I can't remember how, we talked about it recently on the podcast, just about these monuments, I think, something along the lines of just these things that God has done in the past that we can go back and revisit and say, no, God did do this. I'm going to go back and remember this. So looking at ways that he'd, like, again, in our specific situation, ways that, you know, we had an immigration problem before this one when we were trying to get my wife in just to get married. There were issues that we came up against, and God provided a way to resolve those ones. And so looking like, you know what, there are, so again, looking back at the ways that God has come was a big one. I do think a big part of it for me was just learning to grieve how hard it was in the moment and being able to say, God, this sucks. And I have no idea why you're doing this. And just leaning into the almost Davidic side of that, where, you know, if you like the Psalms, at least it feels like at least half the Psalms are David saying, this sucks. Why are you doing this, God? I don't get it, but I'm going to continue trusting you. And really, for several years, that was all we could really cling to, was this sucks. I don't get it. God, God, I kind of think this is stupid, but I trust you. I'm going to try and trust you regardless.
Yeah.
And so I think that was, for me, just kind of putting one foot in front of the other. You know, it's like, I don't have hope. I don't have joy, but I'm going to take these little steps of what I know I can do.
Yeah. And without knowing it, right, that is joy at work, right? There's a perseverance in that. I appreciate that, though. Like the calling out to God in the midst of it is gives some sort of outlet, right? To be able to say, God, I don't know what you're doing here. I don't see where you're taking this. I trust in you. And that's, again, the big picture. Like I trust in you saying that as part of having that vision before. But it seems like we're taking a big detour. Where are we going?
There's 85 different ways I could have learned what you're trying to teach me that didn't suck this much.
Right. It's trusting one day we'll say, like, oh, I did need to go that way. Yeah, you knew. But it's hard. It is. Life is not easy.
Yeah, and so I think just being willing to acknowledge that it sucks, I think, is a critical part of being able to reclaim joy. Because if... if you're not able to acknowledge that things are hard, if you're not able to acknowledge that you are in a valley, how can you ever recognize that you are on a, when you are out of the valley on the mountaintop again?
Right. Right. Yeah, no, I think that's good. That's a good word. Just being able to vocally wrestle with that with God and with others too, of course. So,
yeah. One thing we did talk about briefly, and I'd love to have you expand on a little more, is less than hopes and then what I termed greater than hopes. Could you just talk a little bit about what specifically those less than hopes were and what we were talking about with that?
Yeah, so we were, it kind of related to a little bit of our conversation earlier, just some of these hopes that we have for really things in this life and in this world. And we talked about, you know, our financial statements, you know, I hope it gets to such and such level. My relationships, you know, maybe that's friendships, maybe that's dating or marriage relationships, family relationships, you know, I hope they look this way. Here's my picture of where I want it to go and be. It can be even, even on a spiritual side, I hope this is what my faith walk looks like or what my church looks like. And like we said, these are all typically good things, things that we want to have goals in. We talked about hopes for the country, you know, and, you know, people listening, you're from perhaps different countries as well, but maybe there's a goal there, what things will look like and leaders will look like, and how the reason those are less than hopes is because we're in this world and they're things of this world. And so eventually they will let us down. And if we're not careful, can lead us down a road of despair. And so less than just in the sense that they can't be our chief vision, our chief hope. That needs to be God's vision for us, because that's the one that can't be taken away. That's why Jesus says, fix your eyes on things above, right? And we're told again and again, fix your eyes on Christ and store up for yourselves heavenly treasure rather than earthly, because those things on earth pass away. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. I mean, as long as we are aware of that, we could pursue these things and pour ourselves into them too. We know what God's doing in a larger sense. But that's really what I had in mind with the less than.
What's interesting with those less than ones is that sometimes those less than hopes can really impact our greater than perspective. You know, we're it's really good to hope that you can make a lot of money, because then you can give back to the church, or you can give support missionaries, or you can do these things. That financial security really can change a lot of how you can impact with some of these larger scope things.
Sure.
How do we balance walking that line of keeping a less than hope as a less than hope, despite the knowledge that sometimes these less than hopes can impact our greater than experiences?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good question. And some of it might be pointing to what you said, like what am I hoping in this for, right? You use the financial example. You know, I want to be able to bless God's kingdom. I think he's given me a gift to earn, you know, to work in this way, to have this kind of business. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that, right? And God, I've seen it, right? God blessing people in that way, I think, because he knows they're going to bless his kingdom through it. But that's keeping that in check, right? It's when I start to, so I just want to make a lot of money. And
it's like, or like, I could make a lot of money and I could give a lot to the missionaries and to the church, and I could buy myself a nicer car.
Yeah. Well, and also I think it's part identity stuff too, right? When I start saying I want to make my hopes to make a lot of money, and I might say part of that is, yeah, I want to be generous to God's kingdom, but I don't know who I'll be if that doesn't come to fruition. That's dangerous, right? Just the same in a relational sense. Like, I have a hope that I get married and have children. That's a great hope, and I want to teach my children about the Lord and how to relate to him. But if I start saying, like, and if I don't get that, again, I'll be lost. Right? And that, you know, because sometimes things just don't come to fruition in this world, and we don't always understand it, or maybe they do for a time, but then things change. And so to keep our identity wrapped up again in who God says we are, first and foremost, and where he's taking us, and then wrestling with him in these things. I think there's that following of faith. I have the sense, God, that you've given me this gift. I feel this kind of movement in my heart. I feel like, yeah, I want to have this kind of work. And I feel like I have an ability to do this. And so that's always following his leading, but always under that overall umbrella. And that identity piece, I think, is the fine line. When I start getting wrapped up, my identity's with this country, as a citizen here. My identity is with my family, even, or my bank account, or you know, any other example we use, my friends. Well, that's not going to lead us to a healthy place overall. And so that's where that priority piece comes in. And, you know, where's my identity? Where's my hope wrapped up in? We'll talk about peace next week, and that ties in with that too. Where's that start with? So hopefully that gives a sense of, again, not bad things to pursue, certainly things that we see it all over Scripture. God gives to people, and they work through it. But there's no be-all, end-all either, other than who we are in Christ.
Yeah. Well, that's so good. Thank you for that insight, Dan. One thing, especially in this Fruit of the Spirit series that we're doing, that I want to try and make sure we hit on every time we do this podcast specifically, is just some really practical things we can do to practice each one of these.
Mm-hmm.
And so we did a little bit last week, and I'd love to ask you again, like, if you have any suggestions of or tips or things you do that help cultivate a joyful mindset, a joyful lifestyle. And just as a bit of an example, one thing that Danik and I both do, and we learned this from a good friend of mine in college, who this good friend of ours loves yellow flowers. Mm. They just give her so much joy when she sees them.
Mm.
And so what she started doing was asking us, hey, what yellow flowers did you see today? Now, that could be actual legitimate yellow flowers, or it could be just things that reminded you to have a joyful attitude.
Mm.
And that's a practice that we do. We ask each other all the time, what were your yellow flowers today?
Mm-hmm.
And that's been something that's been really good for us as we try and cultivate a joyful mindset.
Mm.
Do you have any suggestions or things you do?
Yeah, that's good. You know, I kind of even struggled a little bit with, you know, how do we specifically apply this, as I was thinking for Sunday, because it can so get into like, well, this makes me happy. You know, yeah. I'm like, okay, like I'm trying to bring us above that, so to speak, but it is closely related. Understanding beneath this is the theology we've been talking about, like even the flowers right in creation, which I think can be a great way for anybody to connect with joy. That's pointing us back to God, right? And there's this encounter with him in it.
Yeah.
So I've said this before on here, but knowing yourself is important. Like, where is your spiritual pathway, as it were? Where do you, listener out there, kind of sense God's presence close? Again, that's a good place to go. So if nature, creation is that, and I feel that too. There's certain aspects of creation that help me just draw close to God, and right, I just like, oh man, and that just puts a smile on my face, seeing that kind of beauty. Time with people for me, you know, spending time with just some people I love, and just their personality and the way they go about things. I have that in my personality, so like that gives me joy, and it, you know, I see God in them, and just, you know, it's a good thing. I saw someone who, connecting with the hope piece, talked about doing, for lack of a better word, kind of a hope log.
Okay.
And just, you know, reflecting back. And again, this is not for everybody, but worked well for them. Kind of looking back and saying, how often was I being led by God's hope and vision for my life? As I went about my week and made this decision, did that come to mind? How often was it coming to mind? It was just a way to reflect on, is this source of joy coming to my attention more often, or was it something else? But I think, too, there's a way to share that with others. And it's hard. I think I have a hard time pinpointing, like, oh, do this, and you'll bring joy to people, because it's part of just who we become in Christ and the work of the Spirit. But when you can walk beside someone who is in that kind of hopeless cycle we talked about before, and you can bring that measured, I think, joyful perspective. And again, it's not, they're sitting there crying, and you're like, oh, you know, this is great, you know.
It'll all be fine.
Yeah, you won't believe it, you know. But you're just there, and you're present, and you're trusting in God, and you're showing that, and you're showing that even in the way you're walking with them, because you're not scared of like, man, this person's really in it right now. I can't be near them. That communicates this undergirding strength that the Lord gives, and I think brings joy to folks like, man, you were there in the midst of it. And that just, you know, even just that small notch from level one to level two is a big step, mm-hmm. all right? And so there's ways that when we are living in the joy of Christ that we can just be with people and bless them. It's not always, you know, it's just something like, you know, that brings brief happiness, but it could be something deep of just that relationship. And it could be, too, just that way to bring a smile to someone's face, to show you care, and just like to say hello to someone who's in customer service and to value them as a person. We talk about that a lot in this podcast, that you know, seeing other people as image bearers. And that brings joy because, again, that's pointing back to God's design and his vision for us. Mm-hmm. And so really that treating others in that way, and that can bring joy to people and be like, oh, someone did value me. Like, wow, that lifts you up. I mean, that's really what we're talking about. And hopefully it lifts them, of course, to mm-hmm. how God sees them. And so, yeah, I think there's a variety of ways, you know, and we don't want it to be superficial, no. You know, but there's a lot of ways we can be doing that personally to connect with joy and then also to share it, mm-hmm. I think, with those around us. Just, you know, we want to be seeking it, mm-hmm. Seeking what God has in store for us, but also how can I bring that joy?
And sharing it. Mm-hmm. Such a critical part of it. Mm-hmm. You said that next Sunday we are talking about peace. Mm-hmm. Can you explain just a little bit more about what direction we may go with that?
Yeah, yeah. It's just another big concept, you know, peace. I was trying to double check it, but I read somewhere that it's a word that appears in every single book of the New Testament.
Wow.
As I was double checking, I thought, maybe not actually in the book we're doing in the evening in 1 John. That was the only one I didn't see it as I was going through, but mm-hmm. I'll double check. Nevertheless, a concept that comes up over and over, even in some of the very short books. So an important thing in this idea of shalom and well-being and wholeness in life is connected to that. And of course, it impacts our relationship with God, probably first and foremost, but then clearly flows out to our relationships with each other in the church and even in the world at large. And that call to be peacemakers and, very clearly set up against some other words in the fruit of the flesh list, like mm-hmm. dissension and that kind of thing. So, yeah, a lot to talk about there. And how do we live that out? And how does this work through us? And how do we work through maybe disagreements and challenges like that in the church and outside of it? Because there's some pretty challenging words in Scripture. You know, as far as it depends on you, be at peace with everyone. Wow. That's a challenging word. So
a lot to wrestle with.
Yes,
there.
Yeah. So looking forward to it. These are challenging messages, I'll admit, because they're such big thoughts
they're
and ideas.
They're very nebulous.
Yeah.
But they're also so focused in a way. It's one of the it's a both end with that, and I love it. So I'm loving this series. I'm super excited for peace. That'll be a great one. Mm. Thanks to all of you who have been listening. As always, we wouldn't be doing this without your participation in this. So thank you for listening and conversing with us about all these topics as well. You guys have a wonderful week, and we will be back next week.